People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Years ago, California voters wisely passed two ballot initiatives, Propositions 46 and 1C. And the result was $4.1 billion of affordable housing production. That funding is scheduled to run out at the end of 2010. And today we're going to hear about efforts to create another funding program. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and our guest on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast is Diane Spaulding, who today is celebrating 18 years at the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, which she now serves as executive director. It's a regional association that represents affordable housing developers and advocates to promote policies, local, state, and federal, that help to create and preserve affordable housing. Diane, welcome back to the Affordable Housing Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joanne. I appreciate it.
We appreciate having you as well. Ideally, Diane, it would be great to have a permanent source of funding for affordable housing. Is this a pipe dream? Is this even something to shoot for in an economic climate like this?
Well, it's certainly a dream. I wouldn't call it a pipe dream. We are entering probably our third decade of working on this permanent dedicated revenue source for NPH. We started actually in the late 80s, and we thought that we would be positioned for 2010 to actually get a two-thirds vote out of the legislature. We have a active effort going on with the State Department of Housing and Community Development's executive, the director of that department, and she has a commitment from the governor to sign such a bill if it were to come across his desk. We have a champion in Senator Steinberg, and now another rising star with the new speaker, John Perez. We have run into an obstacle, which you alluded to, which is for many, many years in a row now, the state of California has been suffering from a dramatically severe budget deficit right now, sitting at about $21 billion for the state of California in order to balance its budget. So we have a legislative vehicle. It is SB 500. It is authored by Senator Steinberg. It has been put into what they call suspense, pending a resolution of the balancing of the budget. Even if they do balance the budget, however, many of the economists and other public leaders, such as our state treasurer, think that it really would be probably unwise to enact any kind of permanent dedicated revenue source for anything until we stabilize our economy a bit more, until we bring back funding for local governments and kind of all of that. So I would say that we have now shifted. We have not given up. If someone can throw a Hail Mary pass after the budget is resolved and bring our bill, it needs a two-thirds vote out of the California legislature to become the possibility of being enacted. And if somebody can pull that off, we will be right there ready to catch the ball. But it appears that we're rolling into a 2011-2012 legislative cycle for the accomplishment of this very now long-term goal.
I want to focus on what it is that you can do and we can do in the interim. But first, let's talk about those two initiatives, Prop 1C and 46, and the impact that they've had both on the Bay Area and the state of California.
Well, you just cannot understate. I'll give you one statistic and then explain how much Prop 46 and 1C met to the Bay Area. In 2009, there's a group called the California Industry Research Board, which collects data on how many building permits are issued in the state of California. They are the only entity that collects that data, and they have been collecting it for a very long time. They collect it both for total housing permits, and then they also identify multifamily housing, rental housing, the kind of housing that Eden and many of our other nonprofit housing developers produce. 2009 was the lowest record ever in the history of collecting this data, only less than 36,000 building permits, of which 11,000 were for apartment homes, were issued in our entire state. You compare that to a recent high in 2005 of over 208,000 building permits, and it just shows you the magnitude of how this economic downturn has dramatically impacted housing productions. And when you think that of that 6,000 number, that fully one-third were for the kind of housing that our developers are producing, it just shows you how dominant they are as a sector. This is particularly true in the Bay Area. They produce the most affordable housing of any other region, and they are the dominant sector for all multifamily housing. Prop 46, which is now almost, we passed Prop 46 in 2002. We passed Prop 1C as a follow-up in 2006. Prop 46 is almost 100% spent. The Bay Area, out of the $2.1 billion that was available from Prop 46, we were able to capture through competitive processes almost $652 million in funding, of which over 20,000 jobs were created and close to 18,000 new homes, both rental and first-time home buyer programs, were able to be produced under that program. Prop 1C, we have run into once again, due to the state budget crisis, a bit of a glitch. Funds have been frozen in that program since December of 2008. But prior to the freeze, almost 40% of the funds were allocated, and we were at $284 million that we had competed for. Almost 6,000 jobs and over 5,000 homes. And I would point out that besides the freeze, which has come on these funds, there is a difference in the formula between Prop 46 and Prop 1C. Prop 1C was actually a $2.8 billion bond, of which almost $1 billion of it went to something called infrastructure related to affordable housing development. And so they're wonderful programs, good programs like parks, like transit-oriented development, like infill-related infrastructure. So, but they're not directly multifamily housing-producing programs. So there's a little bit of a skewing in the numbers because we're kind of comparing, apples and oranges in these two measures because of those differences.
I see. Now, I know that NPH, the Nonprofit Housing Association, has recently completed a survey to try to come up with the best possible successor program to Prop 1C. Why a survey, Diane?
Well, I'll tell you, we're not one, we're not an organization, neither are our members, especially a member like Eden, which engages at a very high level of work when it comes to our public policy endeavors. And we really do rely, we're a small but mighty organization. We rely upon the eyes and ears and hands of our members to help us do our work and do the heavy lifting. And recognizing that the state funding picture was probably not as optimistic as we hoped it would be for 2010. We, information is power. We have never done our own polling before. We decided to do a survey or a public opinion poll because we wanted to really kind of have more tools in our toolkit, have more options, if you will, that if in fact we knew that we were going to have two more years of having to wait at the state level, perhaps we could make something happen locally or regionally. So we did engage a pollster. He is a former staff person who worked for the California legislature, but he's had his own polling firm, Richard Hertz Consulting, for a number of years. He teaches political science at Sonoma State. And we met with him and engaged him to conduct this poll.
So who did you survey? Did you survey renters, owners?
We surveyed 800. We surveyed 800 people in all nine Bay Area counties, and we surveyed them kind of, along traditional, political polling lines, so that there's a pretty even spread in the region around, geography as well as just the demographics that reflect each, county in terms of their population and homeowners and renters and the full range of ages and race and income spread. One of the things that makes this poll, we believe, so robust in its just the magnitude of the information that we learned and, the scope of the survey was that it's the first time we've ever tested online polling. So as opposed to traditional, you're sitting at home talking to somebody on your telephone, where you do get kind of a skewed result these days because a lot of people don't have landlines, people have converted to cell phones. The kind of typical person who would be willing to do a telephone poll tends to be a much older person and tends to be, Caucasian. And so with this online polling, you get access to a database of people who are high propensity voters, who are willing to do these kinds of polls, and you get a much deeper response because they're able to answer your kind of yes and no, your close-ended questions. But then because of the fact that they're on the Internet and they're at a computer, you can ask open-ended questions, and they can give you an answer, as long as they want to write. And in fact, this poll reads like a novel in a lot of ways, Joanne. We got over 150 pages of transcripts from people who just poured their hearts out about how this housing crisis has affected them on a personal basis.
Yeah, Diane, what were the key learnings? What were the key takeaways that you got from the survey?
The key takeaways that kind of, astounded us was that, and I think we all kind of know this, intuitively, or we hear it anecdotally through stories from our neighbors, a majority, over 70% of Bay Area residents are not only concerned about housing, but they're finding that affordable housing is now the dominant issue in their lives. 51% of the survey respondents indicated that the economic downturn has impacted them either a great deal, 25%, or a good deal. And then this kind of third number is really speaks to just how personal the problem has become, because 60% of people indicated that they were not only concerned about their own housing situation, but they had a family member that was impacted by this affordable housing crisis. And so, women are impacted more than men. 32% of the respondents were women that indicated that they were spending more than 50% of their income on housing. That's compared to 19% for men. Renters are more dramatically impacted. They are paying, once again, more than 50% of their income on rent, 32% of renters. And then, 61% of the entire survey population are spending more than 30% of their income on housing. You can imagine that you're supposed to spend no more than 30%. If you're spending 61% of your income on housing, then obviously you're not paying other, important bills. You're not buying food. You may be delaying medications. You certainly are not, you may be not paying your energy bills. I mean, you're not, your transportation, everything is impacted. when you're paying that much just to make your mortgage or just to make your rental payment.
Were you surprised by these findings?
We were surprised. Like I said, anecdotally, I think we all kind of know that things are really bad and that we've clearly had an affordability gap in our state that goes back 25, 30 years. That's not new information. The Bay Area happens to be an area where sometimes, we're higher producers. I think we were surprised by just how pervasive this issue has become, how high those numbers are. When you say 70%, that's well over two-thirds of our population that is having a personal experience in, one way or another with meeting their monthly housing obligations.
So when you have this kind of support out there that something must be done, I would think that would be good fuel for you. But at the same time, people are not exactly in the mood for creating a new fee or a new tax.
Well, you're correct, but it was interesting, because in addition to surveying, we had kind of three goals for this poll. We wanted to measure the level of public concern about the affordable housing in the Bay Area in general. We wanted to kind of assess people's personal housing situations. But then the third goal that we wanted to get to is we wanted to kind of test the popularity of various funding sources and methods of how they might get enacted. And we really wanted to look at that from the angle of kind of local or regional, response. Because once again, we're not, we need to have more alternatives. If the state doesn't come through for us, if the federal government and this new administration does not come through for us, we have to have some other resources and other options. And so we actually were surprised that 36% of the respondents favor going to the local cities and counties or possibly even the region for a funding source. And it's probably not surprising the way public attitudes are these days towards our government. The closer you are to your government, the more you feel, trust and the more you feel accountability and transparency. So people are not very comfortable, looking to the federal government or looking. The state government is dead last, which in California shouldn't surprise us. Then we went to asking about specific ideas. And once again, we were, pleasantly surprised that a small real estate related document recording fee, which is a primary funding source that we have been looking at to capitalize our state housing trust fund, resonated very highly at the local level. 63% of the respondents said they would favor the enactment of a small $50 real estate document recording fee, and 19%, almost 20%, said they were not sure. Only 18% were opposed. And this pretty much, was very closely aligned as a nonpartisan issue. The spread between Democrats and Republicans was really quite really wasn't very significant. So, we went down from there. That the next measure that would float to the top is what we've done before, bonds. So those are, but like I said, I think the takeaway from this local Bay Area public opinion poll is the fact that people recognize there's a problem, feel it personally, identify with it, and are willing to enact local funding measures to help close the gap and solve the problem.
Let me ask you just quickly, because we are almost out of time.
Okay.
Affordable housing construction is a significant job generator. Is there anything in the stimulus packages or the new jobs packages at the federal level that could provide some relief if California can't find funding?
I think, You know, it's too early to tell. There are a few communities that had, you know, there are a few communities in the Bay Area that had their acts together pretty well, and they were kind of poised to access a neighborhood stabilization program funds or the, you know, American Recovery Relief Package. But I don't think, you know, once again, that's a Band-Aid kind of an approach, and not that any community in the Bay Area would turn money from, you know, the federal government down right now, but that's a Band-Aid. It's a quick infusion of resources that may get you some temporary relief, but it will not solve the problem long-term. And so it just validates the fact that we still need this permanent dedicated revenue source, because certainly as those federal dollars might flow, they are much more effective dollars when they are coupled with something, when they are leveraged, and you get a lot more job creation that way than if they're just, you know, dollars, you know, standing by themselves. At the same time that the federal government is, you know, kind of struggling with, you know, it's a new administration. They're trying to provide new relief programs. They need to get better at tracking their dollars and measuring the impact. But they also, we were surprised to see when the new administration released their HUD budget that there were several programs that have worked extremely well in California, one that builds housing for the disabled, one that builds housing for seniors, and then a program that delivers funding to local governments that were slated for budget cuts. So we are now, you know, embroiled in a dialogue with HUD officials about how California really needs these programs. Eden Housing is an exemplary example of a nonprofit housing developer that has been able to access these funding streams, been able to work with local governments to produce real housing for significantly low-income people, and we do not want to see these programs cut.
Diane, thanks so much for your insights today. Are the survey results available to folks who might be interested?
They are. I believe they're posted on our website, Joanne, and if they're not after today, they will be.
Great, and that website is www.nonprofithousing.org. Diane Spaulding, Executive Director of the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Joanne, and have a nice day.
And for Eden Housing, I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.